Every lesson that is taken from God's Word is important. Every passage is important. But some lessons may have greater importance to us and greater meaning to us and greater application to us than others. I believe that both the lessons that we are studying today are very important. Our lesson tonight will be in the continuation of lessons from Bible characters. We'll be talking about two apostles tonight, how they were alike, and yet how they were different. And one of the main points that we'll be making tonight has to do with our ability to accept God's forgiveness. Now listen to how I said that. Not God's ability to forgive, and not our ability to ask for His forgiveness, but our ability to accept His forgiveness. And if you know of anyone that maybe is struggling with problems and overcoming problems and accepting God's forgiveness of those problems, encourage them to come and be with us this evening. This morning we are continuing our series of lessons on Bible animals. We started at the first of the year, and I anticipate we'll go at least through the month of June. It's amazing how many different animals there are mentioned in the Bible from which we can gain insight and lessons concerning both our associations and relationships with one another and our association and our relationship with God. This morning, our lesson has to do with a donkey. I've never had much experience with donkeys, but I've had a lot of experience with mules. And I think there are some likenesses between the two. And I understand, Charlie, that you went to Mule Day yesterday at Columbia. Did they have any donkeys there? Did they have any that talked? Well, the one we're discussing this morning is a talking donkey. Now, that's one of the worst kinds. When you have a, it's bad enough to have your wife or husband talk back to you. But when you have a donkey talk back to you, then that's really something, isn't it? The story that we're talking about is found in Numbers chapters 22 and 23. Sometimes when I am teaching a class for children and having Bible drills, I will give them this riddle. What walked on earth and talked on earth and died on earth, but will neither go to heaven or hell? And the answer is the donkey that we are discussing in this passage. And the King James Version, the word ass is used to refer to the donkey. That word has come in our day and time to have a rather ugly meaning. And most of the versions that have come out in the last several years will use the word donkey. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version this morning, but I will use the word donkey as it is used in the New King James Version. First of all, get in your mind a picture of the setting of this situation. Balak is the king of Moab. And he looks and sees the children of Israel as they are on their way from the land of Egypt to the promised land. And he is quite concerned because of their size that they may be able to fight against him and overcome his nation. And that concern is not difficult to understand if you will remember that at the first numbering of the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt, there were 603,550 men above 20. Which means if their makeup was generally like most populations, that there were probably at least 3 million people that were in the wilderness wanderings. It's hard for us to get all of that in focus And the only explanation for how things worked is the power of God that was with them. But just picture yourself as Balak, the king of Moab, and he looks and here is a tremendous number of people that are coming in the direction of where his nation lives. And he is concerned about what's going to happen. He had heard that there was a prophet by the name of Balaam who had the ability to either bless or to curse people. And so he sends some of his representatives with gifts to go to get Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel. And when these representatives go to Balaam, Balaam says, I can't do anything or make any decision without asking God for his will. He prays to God, and God, of course, at that time, there was direct communication between God and man before the Bible was written and became our communication. And God said to Balaam, don't go. And so he went back and told these representatives of Balak, I can't go. God doesn't permit it. So they went back and told Balak what had happened, and he sent more honorable people with greater gifts and promises to Balaam again and said, I want you to come, I'll honor you, I'll give you these gifts. And he said, I'll do whatever you ask. Just come and curse this group of people that's about to come through my midst. And Balaam again said, I can't do anything that God doesn't tell me what to do, so I'm going to ask God. And he prayed to God again. And God on this occasion said, go ahead, but listen to what I tell you to do. It seems, at least as I view this, that God was going to use this to teach Balaam a lesson. He did told him not to go in the first place, but Balaam came back and asked again, and God said, all right, go, but you listen to what I tell you to do. And so he went, and after he got there, instead of cursing the children of Israel, he blessed them at the instruction of God. And you can imagine the effect that that had on Balak. Balak had sent him gifts and promised him everything to come and curse the children of Israel, and Balaam blesses them. But our setting today, that we're going to begin with verse 21 of chapter 22, has to do with the events that took place as Balaam was on his way to Balak. Balaam arose up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the donkey to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself upon the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her, or beat her, again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, behold, thou hast mocked me. I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the donkey said unto Balaam, am I not thy donkey, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont or known to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. The angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thy donkey with these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before thee. And the donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I'd slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back. But the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now that's the story that includes the talking donkey. The talking donkey that was beaten three times. And there are a lot of things about that story that are extremely important. In fact, there is another lesson that I use this as a text, coming from verse 20 of chapter 23, where Balaam said, Behold, I have received commandment to bless. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. And that's an excellent text for the idea that when God has said something, we can't change it. But today, we're looking at this from another angle. I want to ask you a question. Why did Balaam beat the donkey? And as we think about this, I want you to think about another question. Why do we beat each other in our relationships with one another? Yes, I have in mind their physical beating. That happens sometimes. Sometimes parents abuse their children. And I certainly don't want you to interpret that I think it's wrong for parents to discipline children. Abuse them is wrong. Sometimes a husband will be physically abusive to his wife. And a wife sometimes will make excuses for bruises that have been put there because of a wife beater, a husband that beats his wife. Sometimes there are people who will beat other people and smite other people. And there are times, and perhaps this is where we really need to think, that we beat up on one another without a physical blow, but with words that cut more deeply than the scratches and cuts that are made sometimes by fists and slaps. There are many ways in which we beat up on one another. And I think, like this setting, sometimes we fail to see the significance of it. Until the very end of this story, Balaam didn't understand how serious what he was doing was. He had beaten his donkey three times. But I suspect each of those three times that he beat the donkey, that he felt good about what he was doing. Felt good that he was beating the donkey. You treat me like this, I'll take care of that. I'll show you who's boss. I'll show you who's in charge. And it was not until the angel of the Lord appeared to him and showed him the real situation that he became so penitent and so humble, and said, one of few times this statement is recorded in the Bible, I have sinned. In fact, let me go off on a tangent just a little bit here. I'm not aware of any time in the Bible where anybody said, I have sinned, except under some dire circumstances. The prodigal son, David, when Nathan told him he was the man, and here we see Balaam saying, I have sinned. But I want to ask that question again. Why did Balaam beat his donkey? Why do we sometimes beat upon one another? As I have analyzed this, I've come up with four answers to that. I believe the first reason was ignorance. You see, he says later on over here when he's talking to God, I knew not that thou stoodest in the way, but the donkey did. The donkey saw the angel with the sword drawn, and Balaam didn't see it. God let the donkey see it, and Balaam didn't see it. And so Balaam was beating his donkey out of ignorance. He did not have all the facts that the donkey had. Sometimes we make serious mistakes because of lack of wisdom. We act in stupidity. I could give you some examples of that without naming anybody else. Sometimes we get to where we think we know all the answers and that we don't have anything else to learn. Sometimes boys and girls get to thinking that they know more than their parents and that their parents are rather dumb. I think it was Mark Twain that said it's amazing how much his dad had learned in the last few years as he grew older. It wasn't the dad that was learning. We need to recognize that there are other people who know more than we do about any subject that could be mentioned. There are preachers that know much more than I do. There are people who are not preachers who know much more than I do about any subject that you could mention. And if I ever get to thinking that I know everything about the Bible, that I know everything about every question that comes up, I have the same problem that Balaam had. There were those in Romans 10 who were said to have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. They were on fire to do something for the Lord, but they didn't know what they were doing. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Ephesians 4:18 talks about those whose God is their own inner self. You know, a barometer tells us about an approaching storm. And there are times that the barometer will go very low when the weather outside looks just like it does right now. And we look out and say, well, there cannot be a storm coming because look at what I see. Look at the knowledge I have. But that barometer has some knowledge of what's happening a little farther off than what we can see. We need to learn to listen to those who are in authority. We need to learn to listen to those who know what they're talking about. Because many of our mistakes are made out of ignorance. I really think, and this is a judgment call, I really think that most of us want to do what's right on most occasions. But if we don't have the facts, we may make the wrong decisions. I'm sure that all of you are aware of all that's being said about this 17-year-old young man, Trevon, that was killed a few days ago. I think the problem that's happening in our country right now, and this is going to expand in one of the biggest problems we've had over one little incident. I mean, it's not little, but one incident. In my opinion, the problem is that people don't have the facts. I don't know what the facts are. I hope justice is done, whatever needs to be done. But without the facts, look how things are blown out of proportion. Without the facts, Balaam beat his donkey. The second factor and problem that I see in this story is what I call tunnel vision, and all of us have it. Tunnel vision is though you're looking through a tunnel and all you can see is just what's right in front of you. You don't see the rest of the scene, the rest of the circumstances. I think this is what happened on this occasion. You remember the donkey in talking to Balaam said, "Haven't I served you ever since you began riding on me?" He said, "Yes." "Have I ever done anything like this before?" "No." But you see, Balaam wasn't looking at the service that the donkey had given him for days or weeks or maybe even years. He just saw this one occasion. And when the donkey did something that brought pain to Balaam, he was ready to beat the donkey. If you ever brought a report card home to your parents with a bad grade on it, although all the other grades were good, which grade did they see? And as a child, if you've done right well all week and you make one mistake, you think sometimes that's the only thing that your dad and mother see. And many times in our relationships with people, even with our friends, friendships that have lasted for a long time are ruined sometimes because of one thing that happens. We have a tendency to have tunnel vision. The wife has cooked a good meal every day for months and months, and then flubs. Which one do we talk about? We have a tendency to see those little things that are problems, and I'm not suggesting we overlook those, but we have a tendency to see the little black spot that's in the center of the white page and not see all the white that's around it. We have a tendency for tunnel vision. If you were able today to get in an airplane and fly up over Jackson and look down at the house where you live, you'd have a different perspective than what you will have when you go home and go in that house. And if there were some way that we could be like God for just a moment and look at each other with that panoramic view of the entirety of life instead of just seeing those few things that have impressed us so much, we'd have a different view. Next to the area where I grew up in Middle Tennessee, the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia is one of the prettiest places I've ever seen. But it doesn't look that way if you're down in that valley. In May of 1958, our senior class at high school took a trip to Washington, D.C. and New York City. And as we were going on a bus, we traveled up on the top of that parkway there that looks down over the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. Coming back, we came down through the valley. And it didn't look the same way down in it as it did from up there looking at it. You see, God is able to, in a sense, back off and look at my entire life and your entire life, whereas we have a tendency to have tunnel vision. And I think we need to be extremely careful with that. I think the third thing that contributed to Balaam beating his donkey was a quick temper. Did you notice in verse 27 that it says he became angry and beat his donkey again? Anger is one of the greatest enemies that each one of us has. I just don't think straight if I allow myself to get angry. And I would guess that most of us, if we would be honest and look back at the entire life, could remember times when we did things out of anger that we would not have done if we had stayed calm. Fellow was going down the road pushing a baby buggy. Someone was behind him and heard him saying, "Now be calm, John. Be calm. Don't get upset, John." And the person caught up with him and said, "Well, that's John there is a very nice looking baby." He said, "His name's not John. His name's David. My name's John." He's trying to calm himself down. And many times we need to calm ourselves down. "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." I've known of many times in the work of the church and in family settings where things were blown out of proportion and became big problems because of anger. And I believe in being firm. I believe in standing for what's right. And I suspect I could point you to four of my children who would confirm that I believe in being firm. But we can be firm and be kind. There is never a place, really. Well, I say there's never a place. Perhaps there is. Jesus became angry at the money changers and cast them out. And Paul suggests when he says, let not the sun go down on your wrath or anger, that maybe there is a place for the anger in the right place. But generally speaking, we do not improve the situation by getting angry. Discuss it, express yourself, be plain, stand your ground, but don't get angry. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. That suggests the idea of it being short-lived. And Proverbs again says in 29:22, anger stirreth up strife. He was had ignorance, tunnel vision, quick temper. And then the fourth thing that I believe was a problem with Balaam was that he had a guilty conscience. Sometimes when we treat other people in a way that we should not, it's because we're having trouble living with self. And many times when you hear people, and now listen closely to this because this happens regularly. When you hear people, especially in the church, say, and I'll tell you there are several people that don't like this, you're probably looking at the person who really doesn't like it. We have a tendency when we have feelings or we have guilt ourselves to put it off on somebody else. You see, Balaam asked God if he could go, and God said, don't go. And then he got more offers, and so he went back a second time. And God already told him he didn't want him to go. But he went back a second time. I think Balaam knew down deep that he shouldn't be going on this trip. God had even told him, you go, but you listen to what I tell you to do. And I suspect that he was riding with a guilty conscience. It was Robert Burns that said in a poem entitled To a Louse, would some power the gift to give us to see ourselves as others see us? It's hard for me to see me as you see me, and it's hard for you to see yourself as others see you. Guilt is important, and it can cause problems. And the lesson tonight will be talking more about getting rid of that guilt. But I think that's what happened here, that he had a guilty conscience. In Acts 7:51, Stephen accused these fellows of doing just like their fathers did. He said, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears. They were perhaps at that point where they couldn't even receive or have a conscience toward what they were doing. God's word teaches us that we need to be able not only to see the mote that's in the brother's eye, but more especially to see the beam that's in one's own eye. You see, on this occasion, all Balaam could see was what the donkey was doing. If he'd have just stopped and looked at himself, he probably would have come to the conclusion, I don't really need to be here anyway. And I'm blaming the donkey. I believe these were four things involved in this story. There was ignorance. He couldn't see what the donkey saw. Sometimes you and I can't see what other people see. Tunnel vision, just focusing on one moment instead of the panoramic vision of life. A quick temper that got out of control. And a guilty conscience that caused him to take it out on the donkey instead of taking it out on himself. Many times, in a closing prayer at our services, the statement will be included, Dear God, help us to take what we've heard today and apply it in our everyday lives. If there's ever been a time that we need to do that, I think it's with this lesson this morning. From this lesson of the relationship of Balaam and his donkey, and the donkey talking back to Balaam, and then God explaining the whole situation, I think we see some of the basic problems that can contribute to whether or not we get along with one another and accomplish what we need to accomplish in life. Back to that point of a guilty conscience. We need to feel guilty when we do wrong, but we also need to realize that we can turn to God and receive forgiveness and get rid of that guilt. And if one continues to carry all the guilt of every sin, it's too much baggage. We need to get rid of it. And you can do that by becoming a Christian, being baptized for the remission of sins, or as a Christian, asking for forgiveness. If either is your need, come as together we stand and sing.